Good morning. We're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us this morning. I've got my helpers here. Can I have this? Thank you. So, announcements this morning. Advent Fear is Saturday, but it was missing from our week at a glance, but it was nicely fixed here. So just remember it's on Saturday instead of Friday from 3 to 4, and then there's refreshments afterwards. It's a German Christmas song event, so hopefully you can be here on Saturday. This afternoon, I'm going to read it right from my email. It came in last night. This afternoon at 3 p.m., the Seasons Choral will present a program called The Glory of Christmas. The Seasons Choral is a mixed choir of adults ages 55 and up, from throughout the Niagara region, who desire to bless people by singing to the glory of God. Please come and let's worship together. And that's from Alf Redekop and Herb Lepp, two of the choristers. I also wanted to highlight the Christmas singing and sharing on Christmas morning at 10:30 a.m. And you can contact Trudy for more information. Sounds like fun. Our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 6 to 7. Do you want to come hold my hand? Yeah, come down. Okay. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Can you come and pray with me? Please bow your heads as we pray. Be with us, Lord, as we are gathered here to worship you. Lord, please open our hearts and prepare us to hear your word and your message this morning. Thank you. Amen.
And please stand for the first song.
Come ye to Bethlehem. angels sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven.
Sing the second song. It's the melody Welche Jubel, welche Freude in German language.
Oh, what joy and exultation! Brightly glows at Christmas time. Hearts unite with cheer and gladness, blending voices sweetly chime. Glory be to God the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to all the people. Unto you is born Christ the Savior, the Lord in Bethlehem. Now again arrayed in splendor, candle light and Christmas tree. Eyes aglow with awe and wonder at the glories that we see. Glory be to God the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to all the people. Unto you is born Christ the Savior, the Lord in Bethlehem. Ah, how soon this grandeur passes, fades into the darkest night. Jesus all his joys replaces with the joys of heavenly light. Glory be to God the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to all the people. Unto you is born Christ the Savior, the Lord in Bethlehem.
Shadows of Bethlehem, promise of dawn, now arise. In a world where so many experience hatred, God lights a candle of love in our hearts. We wait together for a Savior who will be Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. John 3:16.
Up. Well, there we go. I know it's a long way to walk, but you got to move a little faster than that. Come on. There we go. Good morning. Well, how is everybody? Good. Are we excited for Christmas? Yeah, me too. I'm excited. This is an exciting time of year, right? So it's the Advent season, right? This is the second Sunday of Advent, which means we're getting ready for Christmas, right? It's coming up soon. What are you guys doing to get ready for Christmas? How are we getting ready for Christmas? What are you doing? Mason. You're decorating? Yep, decorating for Christmas. What else are you doing? Veronica. More decorating, yeah. Lots of decorating. what else do we do to get ready for Christmas? Are you, like, make, oh, yeah? Decorating, yeah, more decorating. Yes, Stephanie, what do you have? Oh, you're, okay, getting some gifts ready, wrapping, maybe buying some gifts, stuff like that. Yeah? Do you have something, Veronica? Yeah, yeah, presents. Okay, all good ideas. So these are all things that we can do to get ready for Christmas. Can you imagine, this is pretty exciting stuff, can you imagine that you were back in Bible times and you're getting ready for Jesus to be born, right? God's Son to be born. I always kind of wondered why God didn't make Jesus born in something kind of fancy. Like, why wasn't Jesus born in, like, a castle that was, like, covered in gold or was, like, really sparkly, like our Christmas tree or something like that? That's not what God did, right? Where was Jesus born? Yeah, Stephanie? That's right, in a stable. Yeah, yeah, Jesus was born in, like, a barn, right? In a small town to really ordinary people. Right, he was born to a carpenter and his young wife. They didn't have a palace or anything fancy to welcome God's Son, but God picked them. He picked Mary and Joseph, right? Why do you think God chose Mary and Joseph to be Jesus' parents? What do you think made them good choices to be the parents of Jesus? Do you think they were nice people? I think they were probably nice people. People who could keep him safe, right? All good reasons, right? I think most importantly, God knew that Mary and Joseph would love Jesus, right? That's important because it reminds us of an important message for Christmas. God doesn't need us to be fancy or rich or famous or any of those things. He just needs us to be exactly what we are, right? And to just show love to people, love to God and love to each other, right? So let's pray about that. Can we pray together? Dear God, we thank you for the Christmas season. Thank you for all the excitement that comes with it. And we just pray that you would help us to show love to others and to love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks, guys.
Well, now of our time for sharing joys and concerns, I heard that the hotel that Mary and Joseph stayed at, that small hotel, only had a 1-star rating. Thank you. Thank you. I made that up myself. Thank you. Does anyone have any prayer requests or any joys they would like to share? We'd be happy to have you share on microphone if you'd like.
Last Sunday, I stood here and asked for your prayers for my sister, Bev. I'm here this morning to acknowledge your prayers. And I think it was Tuesday morning, Pastor Tim called and said, how was surgery? And I said, it was as good as could be expected. They were anticipating a 7-hour operation, and it was a 5-hour operation. She even may go home from the hospital today or maybe tomorrow. So she's in good spirits, and the doctors are waiting, of course, for lab results before they give their final verdict. But just a word of praise and a word of thanks for all of your prayers on behalf of my dear sister. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for sharing, Paul. Glad to hear it.
Hi. My grandson has to have a liver transplant, so I'm asking the church to please pray for him. He's only 19, so please pray for him.
What's his name?
A liver transplant.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh, Dylan Fabio. Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
Hi, I want to just thank Eddie Enns for playing the harmonica today. My dad used to play harmonica, and when I saw Ed play, it just brought lots of memories for me. So I want to thank you, Ed. And my brother has been in the hospital 4 months. He went in for vascular surgery, which was only supposed to be 3 weeks, and he had every complication you could think of. But Judy had asked for prayers for me, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we have a meeting this week, and hopefully he will be home for Christmas. So thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Sorry, what was his name one more?
Gary.
Gary, thank you. Well, and since it's so quiet in here, I'll acknowledge that my children and my wife are homesick. So that's why you don't hear them. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end, I'll invite you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer. We will have that on the screen, and you're welcome to pray that in whatever version or whatever language is most natural to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Holy Spirit, thank you that you continue to bring about love, that you bring about love not just in our hearts for the people we care for, but that you bring about love even for our enemies, even for those who are far off, even for those who do not know that they are loved. Lord, we pray through this Advent season that you would continue to work your love on our hearts in such a way that it spills out into each encounter we have. As we think of all of the violence and the pain in our world, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy. Continue to bend hearts towards your way of peacemaking. May we start to see, even in our time, enemies become friends. Ceasefires become reality. The weapons of war being abandoned for the tools of creation. Lord, we think in particular of those who are hurting today, who are sick, who are lonely, who are battling addiction. Lord, continue to work in their lives. Bring your new hope and your new life. Lord, through these seasons, as we continue to bring back our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Continue to use what we give to advance your kingdom in word and deed for our neighbors. Friends, may we also remember Bev. Lord, continue to be with her and the doctors and bring your healing. Lord, be with Dylan as he seeks a liver transplant and give the doctors wisdom and discernment while they care for him. And Lord, we pray for Gary that you would bring healing and bring him home. Friends, pray with me now the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I will be reading Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
There were no difficult names in the reading this week, at least. Today's title is actually called The X Factor, as we continue looking at the Gospel of Matthew and this strange keeping the X in Xmas that we've been talking about. But first, what I like about Christmas the most, maybe, are all of the joyful, fun things about it. I like the music, I like the singing, I like the decorations, I like the gifts. Thank you in advance for all of the cookies you are already planning to make for me. And I really do enjoy some good eggnog, too. There's so much to be joyful and happy about as we gather together at Christmas. But the truth is, Christmas is also a time of sadness for many people. There's something about Christmas that normally has the joy of us all gathering around the table together that makes us even more aware of the people who aren't there with us anymore. There's so much to be grumpy about, from traffic to shopping to the consumerism of it all to maybe even the loneliness of not having the same connections that other people have. Christmas can be difficult for many of us. And when we look back to the origins of Christmas, we look back to that first Christmas, what we see is kind of the same thing, this mix of joy, this excitement, also right alongside heartbreak, mourning, doubt, difficulty. We know how the story ends, but for the characters in the story, they're experiencing it all in real time, not knowing what's going to happen. So in this series, in this time where we're reminded to keep the X in Xmas, what a strange thing to say, isn't it, keeping Christ in Christmas? Well, we're reminded that X is just the old way we used to write down Jesus' name. In the Greek, the X is the chi, it's the first letter in Christ. So whenever you would see someone in older times write a little X there, that just meant Jesus. But somewhere along the way, we started getting upset about things like that. We started getting upset about maybe Christmas not having the prominence in our culture that we want. And there's this strange way where we've lost connection to our great history as the followers of Jesus celebrating this time that God comes to us. We've lost our historical connection, even to the point where sometimes I remember growing up being told that seeing an X instead of Christ was just them taking Christ out of Christmas. But what is Christmas? What's the point of it? What are we trying to do during this time? It's not about all of the stuff. It's never been about all of the money, the big people, the kings and the rulers. As Aaron talked about with the kids, it's always been about this very humble circumstance with very real people, gritty experiences that were challenging and also a blessing all at the same time. So today, as we continue looking at Matthew chapter 1, we'll go through verses 18 through 25. A little context, a reminder, Matthew is sometimes called Levi in the Gospels. He was a follower of Jesus, a disciple, so he's writing down his eyewitness accounts and kind of the information he's gathered together, but it is very much towards a Jewish audience. That's his first audience that he had in mind. Now, we also note that as he starts with this strange list of names, that is exactly what his audience would like. But while they look like just a list of names for us, it's actually telling a very colorful story, sometimes a little bit out of order than how we would do history, telling us that something different is going on, that our God continues to work in surprising ways through unexpected people, like us, to bring about his loving kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. So in today's passage, it kind of takes a step away. We already know Matthew has already told us Jesus is going to be the Messiah. We already know that Joseph has been listed as the husband of Mary. Things are going to work out. But let's pretend, briefly at least, that we don't know how it's going to go. Let's try to see things as Joseph saw them for the first time, through the eyes of this carpenter who is having his whole life turned upside down in the story. So we'll start with the first couple of verses, 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So, just so you know, engagement at that time was a little bit of a longer process. It had more legal ramifications. Basically, it's almost like they're married, and during that time, Joseph has to go and build a house for them, and then they'll eventually move in together, and then there'll be like the second kind of marriage, full marriage celebration. So that's kind of what's happening here. Pledged to be married. So they're already kind of married, not quite yet. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. That says through the Holy Spirit. And maybe we should have always had parentheses there, because we know, but Joseph doesn't. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, that is following especially those first five books of the Bible, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So think of Joseph. So Joseph would now be of the age where he has a profession, he has been able to acquire the marriage rights to someone in some ways through the family. He's been approved. He's been working for this for years. He's building a house. He's looking to build a life. And suddenly, his wife-to-be is pregnant, and he knows that the child is not his. So when it talks about the law and things going on there, what it means is this could go a few different ways for Mary. It was unlikely that they were practicing to the fullest extent of capital punishment, but capital punishment is on the table for those being pregnant out of wedlock. So Joseph has to decide what to do. If you've ever been a part of a small town, or maybe we know in a smaller church how rumors can spread quickly, this is even smaller of a small town. So everyone's whispering, "Did you hear about Joseph and Mary?" So what does Joseph do? How is he supposed to engage in this in a way that still somehow cares for Mary and her family? Because her family and her reputation are on the line here as well. And we see the trouble right here is something we can very much relate to. What do you do when you get that phone call? What do you do when you get that bad news? We've all gotten it sometime. How do we react? Where is God in the midst of it? What do we do when our dreams have been broken? When that thing we've been working forward to for so, so long suddenly just seems to collapse with no way forward? What do we do when things are falling apart and we have no answers? Maybe it feels like we're calling out to God, we're asking the right questions, but there's just silence in response. I think most of us here can relate to the feeling of just feeling lost. Not just not knowing which way to step forward, but not even knowing how to stand up and start to choose a direction. This is how Joseph feels. He's stuck. All he has left are bad options for him. God, where are you in the midst of this? What do we do with our doubts? What does Joseph do with his doubts? God, I did everything right. I'm supposed to be this holy person. I'm doing all of this right stuff. I'm marrying someone from a good family. Mary is a good person. I thought, what's going on? How do we handle our doubts when we're experiencing pain, devastation, grief, bad news? Well, Joseph is not left in the midst of his doubts. We see the passage continues. But after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph, in the midst of this doubt and troubling story, is then met finally. After struggling through, after not having answers, he is given a direct line of answers to what's going on. And we see this doubt turn itself into new faith. After that time in darkness and not knowing, now knowing this new thing, he goes and does exactly what is asked of him. He takes on part of the shame of being this family having a child out of full wedlock, which, by the way, is a shame that we know should not exist for Mary either. Mary has done nothing wrong, and neither has Joseph. But that will now be on their family. Maybe even later when they go to his hometown and they can't find somewhere to stay, it might have a bit to do with people whispering about them. I'm not sure I want them in our house. Those people are trouble. And he goes and he does all the right things and starts following through. He starts to learn that this terrible thing that's happened to him isn't a terrible thing. But in fact, it's God working in new ways, and he is invited in to participate in this new thing, even though that means it will be difficult for a time. We see the X factor in Joseph's faith isn't that he's so smart. It's not that he knows the law, the Bible. It's not that he's so holy. It's not that he goes and perseveres when there's no answer. The X factor for Joseph is that God shows up in his story, that the Holy Spirit is involved in miraculous ways that continues to push him forward in the midst of his doubt and trouble. Because ours is a God who draws near, who doesn't just leave us to our own to figure things out, who meets us in the midst of those doubts. Ours is a God who listens. God shows right away as this messenger, this angel, appears to Joseph in a dream that God knows exactly what Joseph is thinking, exactly the struggles of what's going on, that Joseph wasn't struggling and working through those doubts on his own, but that God was with him the whole time, listening and being alongside him. And after a time, we also see that ours is a God who answers. That prayer, that doubts, that questions can get answers. And ours is a God who invites us deeper.
See, Joseph didn't just get the answer that, oh, this isn't a bad thing. You can kind of go on with your life. It's like, no, you're being invited into this bigger story. This is the Messiah. This is a big deal. Mary has been chosen specifically, and you have been chosen specifically for a task. It's going to be hard, as you already know, by the shame and the stuff going on, the whispers around. But it's going to be good, and we need you to do your part. See, friends, we see that sometimes we get mixed up about what faith is. Faith is not the absence of doubt. In fact, if someone never has any doubts, if someone describes their faith as exact certainty on everything, then that is not faith. Great faith comes from trusting the one who is faithful in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of not always knowing. Knowing that God's way, that following Jesus is the right thing to do, even when we're not quite sure how it's all going to pan out. Because ours is a God who works in surprising ways through people who have doubts to bring about his loving kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. So what will this mean for us? What will this mean for us this Advent or Christmas season? Well, I think we have to be honest. We won't always understand. Ours is a God who's working all things towards the good of all creation, but that's not always going to look good for us. There will still be trouble. There will still be difficulty. We won't always know why things happen the way they do. In fact, we'll ask questions and we won't always get answers. We won't always get clarity or the answers that we want. When I think of people in the Bible who got answers to prayer that they didn't want, Paul is someone who had something incredibly painful in his life, and he asks God many times, please take this away from me, and God's response is, my grace is sufficient in the midst of what's going on, in the midst of your weakness, in the midst of that pain. That's an important part of what I'm doing. We won't always get our answers. But God sometimes answers saying, no. God sometimes answers saying, trust me, my grace is enough. You will not be in this alone. Our doubts and our questions are a part of growing our faith. You don't learn unless you ask questions. Doubt is sometimes this way that we move from maybe more childlike innocence in faith to a deeper level of faith where we start to delve into that deep end where we're not always sure where the bottom is, but we're trusting God along the midst of it. See, doubt isn't an enemy of faith. Doubt can be something that helps us to grow and grow deeper in our faith. Jesus is the one who invites us to follow him right now as we are, doubts and all. And perhaps most importantly at Christmas time, we're reminded that we are welcomed into the mystery. That not everything makes sense in the midst of the Christmas story to the characters who are experiencing them as it goes. But that God is working, that the Holy Spirit is moving all around us, all through our neighborhood, as we are welcomed in and invited into this mystery, that somehow as we go out and love people, as we go out and proclaim Jesus through our actions and our words, that God starts to grow this new kingdom up all around us. That we start to see recreation occur all around us. That we start to experience salvation in such a way that it's not just this one-time event that stamps a card to have a get-out-of-hell-free time at the end of our lives. But that salvation is something that changes us today and every day as we continue to become more and more like Jesus. As we continue to live out God's kingdom values today in reality, as it will be when God is here in his fullness, as it is in reality in heaven. Friends, our God continues to work in surprising ways through people who have doubts, through people like us, to bring about his loving kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. So this Christmas, as we look to keep Christ inside our hearts in such a way that it's lived out, may we welcome those who have doubts. May we be a community of worshiping doubters, where we can have these conversations and questions together, because it is our doubts that can draw us closer to the manger, that can draw us closer to the foot of the cross, that can draw us closer to following in the footsteps of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you continue to meet us where we are, as we are. Lord, continue to answer our prayers. Continue to draw us deeper into your mystery and open our eyes so we can see how you are working all around us and participate. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know it's a busy time during Advent time, but like Pastor Tim was saying, he loves to hear music and sing too. So let's remind this afternoon at 3 o'clock, let's fill this room. I think it will be mostly filled, maybe completely filled, a big choir singing. And also next Saturday afternoon, the Advent fire, the German songs, the afternoon, 3 till 4, and after that, it's cookies, but that's for everyone, not just Pastor Tim. So let's stand for the last song and for benediction, please.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord's light continue to guide you in his ways. Go in God's peace. Amen.